Thanks, everybody, for tuning in the Short Thing today. Lots of stuff to talk about. Rumor, we're plane tracking again on the internet. We got the Final Four set, and there's some more NFL transactions going on. So that's what we'll have on the show today. You can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Warren Shore, Ryan Siller here, as we always are. We'll be back probably next week after we have the National Championship game on Monday night and the Masters preview next week with picks as well. Ryan, how's it going out there?
It's going well. I think I don't know about you. I don't know how much you were outside this weekend, but I thought spring was over and summer was starting already, but it looks like maybe spring is back for the day today. It was a hot one this weekend. Got a little baseball in. It was good times. Hanging with the fam, all good stuff. You know, the usual around here, nothing too crazy, but ready for this Final Four. People are hating on it, but I think it's pretty good.
It was a hot one this weekend. I was outside a lot. A lot of golf courses, I think, everywhere were packed on Saturday and also on Friday. So I was out there. I almost had a – if someone was recording caddying the shot on Thursday, I think I could have had a viral video of just based on my reaction of the guy hitting it and then immediately after he hit it, me in the background saying, oh no, I think we could have had a viral video there. When your caddy just says, oh no, or whatever, just like, you know how all those sayings in golf or whatever, they get those viral videos.
Yeah.
The timing on this one that I had just on accident was so good, I think it could have gone viral. But sadly, no, they were not recording the shot as he just hit it miles left. And I was like, oh no. And he goes, what? I go, I told you not to hit it there. And I mean, it was, you know, we were joking around, so it wasn't like a bad thing and they were laughing and everything. But, I think we could have had a viral moment. But, yeah, no, look, I feel like what we're going to do is it's going to be like 80s for 2 days and then it's going to go right back down to, the 70s until like April or till the end of April, whatever.
But, yeah, with obviously plenty of rain and tornado watches mixed in there.
Yes. Yes, as well. The Final Four, are people hating on the Final Four? Or are they just hating on it because Duke's in it? I don't know if people are really hating on it. I just think it's a blue blood showdown, a blue blood classic, which I think when you had the potential best matchups when you were looking for after the or going into the Elite Eight, you were like, we could get Duke, Carolina, Kansas, and Villanova. I think maybe just to get Coach K out of there. But other than that, I think people would have signed up for that. Like, I don't think an Arkansas, St. Peter's, Miami, and Houston really excited anybody. If that would have been, if the results would have been opposite, I don't, this has way more juice in it than if it went the other way.
See, that's the exact same camp I'm in. But I saw some people that were hating on it because for that reason, you know, because you're getting the blue bloods, kind of the, oh, it's the same teams every year type thing. It's not, but it is some of the powerhouses, some blue chips that we've seen over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, you know, going back all the way to the 80s with Duke and North Carolina for that matter. But yeah, I think it's, you know, I think we talked about it. I don't know if it was talking about on the show where it's like, okay, you know, we like the Cinderella story when it's like gets to the Sweet 16, maybe even the Elite Eight. But then after that, like, give me the dogs. Like, I want the big dogs on, you know, on the porch that are there year in and year out. I want to see the guys that are going to be in the NBA next year, you know, next couple years. I want to see them on the grand stage playing for the national championship. And that's what we're getting. So that's why I'm excited. I hope to God North Carolina just absolutely shoves it right up Coach K's and Duke's booty, and knocks him out that way. It would be hilarious. His last two losses of his career coming against North Carolina. And for sure, definitely don't want him to be in the national championship, win, lose, or draw. He's going to get a ton of press, a ton of, you know, more sucking than they've already been doing for him the last 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm looking forward to that matchup. You know, the Villanova just looks unstoppable right now. I think they're the favorite to win. I haven't looked at the actual Vegas odds, but just based on the way they've been playing, I think they've got to be the favorite to win it right now.
Even with that injury to what's his face?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That calf pop. That thing was gross.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, still. I mean, I think they've got enough dudes and they've got enough guys and they just stay within their system and don't try to do too much or play outside of that. And it works. And so I think even with that injury, you know, as big of a blow as it's going to be, I still think that they're the favorites to take this thing.
Well,
I think, and on the flip side, I think Kansas is the sneaky sleeper to be the one to take it. I don't know about you, but I feel like everyone's talking about Duke, the Duke North Carolina matchup, and then there's a lot of people that are on Villanova, and then Kansas is kind of like in the shadows lurking, and I think they're the ones that, you know, if I wanted to make a quote unquote sleeper, even though they're a one and North Carolina is an eight or whatever, I think Kansas is kind of a sneaky runner up to Villanova. It's who could win this all.
Well, Villanova has the worst odds going into this weekend to win.
All right. Well, there you go. Plus, that's how much I know.
Plus 600. They're plus 600. Duke's plus 140. Kansas is plus 180. And Carolina's plus 500.
That's shocking that Villanova's got bigger odds than North Carolina.
But they only play like six guys or seven guys. And then one of the guys is hurt. So it just comes – they're going to have someone step up. I think it just comes down to how many guys they play and how that key – what's his name? Moore that got hurt?
Yeah.
Like how they're able to overcome that. I think that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Because I would think that they would be a favorite or at least like everybody would think, oh, they got a good chance. I mean, they played – six guys the other day played at least 25 minutes, and five played 32 or more. They had one guy, Archie Diacono's brother, he played 2 minutes. So, like, they legit go six guys deep. And so now are they gonna go just play the starting five the whole game? Or, like, What are they gonna do? They're gonna have to play some other guys in there with a rotation or something. But I just, I mean, Jay Wright, it's hard to go against him, but also, Kansas, I mean, if they play like they did in the second half against Miami, it's hard to see how anybody's gonna beat them.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right about Villanova, but the last point that you said there was kind of, you know, what I was thinking too is it's hard to go against Jay Wright when he's been one of the top coaches in the nation for a while now, but they are going to have to figure some things out. And I think, and that's why I said, I think I have the faith in Jay Wright and that team to kind of do it all. Maybe that's why I, you know, dumbly or blindly think that they might be the sneaky favorites to win it. You know, even if they are the longest odds, maybe I'll just go on to the old Bovada account, maybe sprinkle a little bit on that plus 600. I like those odds.
Yeah, the thing too about this past weekend, the Elite Eight games, they stunk.
They were a little boring.
I don't think college basketball guys, can they make an open three?
Not as much as we're used to seeing like in the NBA. Cause yeah, there's a lot of wide open threes. Excuse me, that, either hit back rim, hit front rim, hit the backboard. There's a ton where you're like, man, you got to hit that. And it's nowhere near.
I mean, shooting is, I mean, I know Houston went 1 of 20. That's an outlier. But even in that game, Villanova was 5 of 21. Like, the offensive production, it just seemed like everywhere. Even going on to Thursday's games, Friday's game, it's just, I mean, the games went under. There was one game out of what, 10 that went, or what's one game out of 10 or 12 that went over this weekend? Like, just the offense was not, I don't know if it was nerves, whatever, something, but the offense was just not there this weekend. It was hard to watch at times. Just, you need some scoring and no one's scoring.
Yeah, the Villanova Houston game going in, I figured that was going to be an under game, but I think I saw something that like the last 10 years, I don't know how many years, the last, you know, pretty recently, maybe 5 to 7 years, the Elite Eight games, the under is like 25-1 or something like that. It's 20 wins, 5 losses, and 1 tie on the under. So you've had 5 games go over out of the last 26 in the Elite Eight. You know, so it seems to be the theme. You know, guys are probably a little gassed. You know, especially if you see teams, you know, we obviously haven't seen a team like St. Peter's making it to the Elite Eight, you know, that low rank. But if you have a team, you know, a 10, 11, 12 seed make a little bit of a run, maybe they're not playing as well as they were to start off the season or to start off the tournament. You got that adrenaline pumping. So I don't know, for whatever reason it might be, these games tend to go under all the time. But these ones especially just kind of seemed like it was a total snooze fest. I saw a couple of people saying this was the worst Elite Eight, you know, ever. Obviously, a little recency bias and you know, looking for some clicks there on the internet. But, you know, watching it, yeah, you're not super locked in when their games are this boring and they seem to be dragging out. But, again, this just kind of seems to be the theme of the Elite Eight over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't disagree about saying that these was, like, the worst Elite Eight. None of the games came down to the wire.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't even close. They were over. They were, like, St. Peter's, that game was over 5 minutes in. The only one that was close was Houston and Villanova, and that was because nobody could score. But I don't think anybody thought that Houston had the power or had the offensive capabilities to even have a chance to come back in that game when they were down, like, 6 points. Because as everyone was saying, 6 points felt like they were down about 10. So
there was one point in that game where they were down 10, like 10 or 13, and then they closed the gap and they were down like 44, 42 or something like that. And then Villanova made a little run to make it like 46 or 48, 42. And it's like, that's kind of when you know it's over, like right there. Like you said, that's 6 points because you make this whole run. You either got to get even or even go ahead. And if you can't do that, and then you let the other team kind of get a, you know, a couple buckets in a row, you can usually tell pretty quickly that it's a wrap.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. What, anything from the Sweet 16 you would like to talk about or not?
No, not necessarily. I think, you know, again, St. Peter's, hats off to them for, beating Purdue. But other than that, yeah, nothing that I would really like to touch on in the Sweet 16 whatsoever at all. So we might as well just move on.
All right. Nothing that a 10 point Arizona win comfy into the Elite Eight.
No, I don't want to. Hey, look, credit to Houston. Look, man, that defense was suffocating. That they played really, really good defense, and it didn't help Arizona that they were out there playing 6-on-4, because Tubelis for Arizona looked like that was the first time he ever stepped foot on a court. I think that guy had to have about 12 turnovers. It was ridiculous. Every time he touched the ball, he was bobbling it, and the ball got loose. I was texting one of my buddies that's a big Arizona fan as well, and he was like, why is this guy on the court? Like, he got benched in the second half against TCU. He didn't play the entire second half against TCU because he was playing so bad in the first half. And then they just keep him in there the entire game against a better Houston team that was just suffocating defensively. We just couldn't get anything going offensively. Bendick Matherin tried to take it over. Daylon Terry had a couple good looks at some buckets. They just couldn't. Coloco played really well, but they just couldn't overcome that defense when they needed to. And the kind of same thing happened there. Houston had a big lead. Arizona kind of closed the gap a little bit and got within like 4 or 5 points and then just could never get even. And Houston ran away with it after that. But, yeah, I mean, this was probably one of my favorite Arizona teams to watch. Like I said, as little basketball as I watched this season, I was watching Arizona quite a bit whenever I could. And there was just so much talent on this team, and it's kind of a bummer. And then, you know, obviously it being Tommy Lloyd's first year, you think the sky's the limit from there. But, who knows? We'll see going into, next year.
Yeah, that was, I would say the nerds were right on Houston. And yeah. Not the people that would say that they didn't beat anybody. They didn't beat a tournament team all year till the tournament. It almost felt like Houston had an NBA type of regular season. I know they lost a couple people, but they're like, all right, we're in the American. We got to play these teams that are lesser than us. We'll kind of handle business decently against them. A couple Memphis games. Memphis is going to play tough because they know that they got to beat us and we lose to them. We end up beating them in conference championship game. And then when it gets tournament time, they flip the switch, as they say. And then they go on a run that they fell one step short of what they did last year.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, Gonzaga, Purdue and St. Peter's. As I was watching that game, I don't understand how Purdue, has to look at what North Carolina did against St. Peter's and be like, how did we not do that? I also think that Purdue just took St. Peter's lightly. They're like, oh, they're 15. Like, you could tell they just didn't really, think they had. They were just going to blow him out of the water. But, like, how do you not just throw it to your 7'4" guy every single time? And if they triple team him, they'll foul him.
Yeah.
And you can go to the line. I did not understand that play at all. And even when they gave it to Williams, he was doing work down low. Just keep feeding those guys. They're not going to stop you. And, like, the whole St. Peter's obviously a great story. Do you like their coach, Shaheen Holloway?
Yeah, I like him a lot. They did obviously a ton of interviews, ton of stories on him. He was on PMT, and I liked him quite a bit. I thought he was a pretty cool dude. Kept himself level, kept his players level, but also still realized that, hey, look, like, what we're doing here is historic, but don't get too over your skis and realize that, you know, just because you made it this far, you know, job's not finished. And so, I love that. He stuck up for his players a lot. He's like, you know, whenever somebody would say, hey, are you guys getting worried about getting bullied? Are you guys worried about being out physical, whatever? And he's like, bro, I got guys from Jersey. I got guys from New York City. Like, nobody's going to bully us. We're the bullies. We're tough. Like, we got some tough dudes. He talked about Dougie E. He's like, that's one of the toughest dudes I know. You know, this little goofy white guy with this crazy mustache. So I liked him quite a bit. And, you know, reports are that he's going to Seton Hall to coach. And I would only imagine that he's going to have some success there as well.
Yeah, because he played at Seton Hall.
Yeah.
So I liked him a lot. The only thing I didn't like him, I like when he was like, oh, we're not a Cinderella story. I was like, buddy.
Yeah, no, that's exactly
like, we're not David versus Goliath here. Buddy, you had 435 people, show up to the first game of the season. Your basketball budget is $1.8 million or something, if that. And you can't play music in practice because you're up against a psychology classroom or whatever. Like, you are the prototypical March Madness underdog. And I know he's got to say that, but his team knows that they're the underdog. Like, they 100%. Know.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
don't put on this bit of not embracing it. Like, the players are embracing it. Why, as a coach, can you not embrace it? That's the one thing about him that I like him. I thought he was great, but that was the one thing I was just like, when he was like, we're not Cinderella, stop calling us. I was like, buddy, what are we doing here? Come on.
Cinderella, it's your picture.
Yes, it's St. Peter, the first 15 seed ever to make the Elite Eight. Like, that is, how many times have 5 seeds even won a game in the, or 15 seeds have won a game in the tournament?
I don't know.
I mean, this is the second year in a row that we've had a 15 seed in the second weekend.
Yeah.
All right, here's the history. We've got, 7, 8, 9, and then we have 10. I think 14 times a 15 seed has won a game. Because Oral Roberts made the Sweet 16 last year, so they won 2. Middle Tennessee won 1. Florida Gulf Coast made it to the Sweet 16. That's another 2. We're up to 6. Then Norfolk State is 8. Lehigh 9. Hampton 10. Coppin State 11. Santa Clara 12. Richmond 13. So 16 then with St. Peter. 16 times in this thing, a 15 seeds won a game. And
yeah, I would have said less than 20. That's who did
Santa Clara beat? Do you know?
Santa Clara. What year?
1993.
I don't know.
Arizona.
Yeah, I figured, but I thought that might be too obvious.
Well, that's the only reason I brought it up.
Yeah.
All right. So the Final Four, you kind of said, are you taking Villanova to win it all? Is that one of your picks, or what are you looking at for the games here?
Yeah. So I think, all things considered, I still think I like Villanova. So I'll take Villanova. I got Villanova plus the 4.5. I got Carolina plus the 4.5.
All right. The Carolina Duke game is, it's hard for me to see Carolina winning. Like, I want them to win. I'll be rooting for them. But I find it hard to believe that Coach K is going to lose to Carolina again.
Yeah.
With the chance to go to the championship game. And the, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on the kids now. There was a ton of pressure on them, maybe if not even more pressure on them, at Cameron Indoor. Carolina's been playing great, but it just, it's hard for me to believe that, Duke is going to lose to Carolina, as much as it pains me to say. Because yeah. I don't want a Monday night Coach K final in the championship. Really don't want him winning at all. Like, why couldn't Izzo finish the job? What was he, how'd they choke it? How'd they choke it?
Yeah.
How did Tech choke at the end of that game? Like, they had him on the ropes twice, and I never believed that Arkansas had a chance against Duke. I was not buying that. I didn't think that would be there. But, like, how do those two teams, you have them up there. I'm gonna say we're gonna get a Duke-Kansas final. I wanna believe in Villanova. I picked them as a finalist in my bracket. Not that that's doing well, that no one cares about, but I just don't think with the injuries,
who else did you have in that?
Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Kentucky winning it all. So how did that go? Hey, look, I had two Final Four teams. I had Kansas Villanova. I think that's probably par for the course right now, right?
Yeah. Let me go back and see. Again, nobody cares.
Nobody cares, but I have 50% after losing a team on at 7 o'clock on a losing your champion 7 o'clock on the first Thursday. That's not terrible.
Yeah, it's not too bad at all.
But no, I just think we're going to get a Duke Kansas game on Monday night. And I would hope Kansas can pull it off. I just think the injuries for Villanova too hard for them to overcome right now. As much as I would hope they do, because if Jay Wright wins three titles since 2016, that is, I mean, it's already, he's won two, but man. Impressive stuff from him for a team and a coach that could really never get over the hump to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Now they could potentially rattle three titles off in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
to like modern day basketball, you know what I mean? Yeah. Not like back in the '50s when like it really didn't count.
And I will say he doesn't really have that many one and dones.
Oh, for sure.
Like he might have, I think he had a couple freshmen in that 2018 team that went to the pros after, but like they didn't really, Omari Spellman, I think he might have done it, and then might have been another guy, but like they've had guys that have hung around for 3 or 4 years, not saying that he doesn't go after one and dones, but his guys stay there and they develop and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, pretty impressive stuff there. All right. Let's go to the NFL. What are we going to get a big trade this week? Yes or no? Or is all the big trades already out?
I think all the trades are done. I think we're going to be done until training camp with the trades.
I would think maybe the draft.
Yeah, maybe the draft. But we don't see a whole lot of draft day trades involving players.
No, not anymore. But damn, Tyreek Hill goes to the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And they gave up 5 picks. That's a lot of picks to give up for Tyreek Hill, and then that contract. That's a lot. I mean, say, hey, good move for the Dolphins. You find Tua's got a 1 year prove it. We'll find out how good he really is, but man, that's a lot of stuff for the Dolphins. And what about the Brady rumors? I know he shot those down, but that, I mean, that kind of fits with what Stephen Ross was doing. He got, as he said, Brian Flores said that he was going to have Brady come on a boat with them and they were going to tamper to get him to come play for the Dolphins, but that's when Flores left the boat and didn't want to do that. But, I mean, that would be crazy if he went to Miami. I really don't think he wants to play for the Bucs next year.
I agree. I think Brady is done in Tampa Bay. I think he's probably done with Bruce Arians. you know, the only thing, not that what he says really matters after unretiring, even though some of us called it correctly, was when he said, I'm coming back to play with my teammates in Tampa Bay or whatever. It's, you know, some kind of wordage of that nature. But, you know, if he was trying to get to Miami with those weapons, you know, Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Gesicki, forget who they just signed a running back to, Chase Edmonds. You know, say what you will about him. Decent, serviceable running back that can do some catching out of the backfield, which we know, Tom Brady does really, really well with. So, you know, there's some pieces there. And two, you know, this might just be dumb brain Ryan, which we've seen plenty of times, but, you know, the original idea was that he wanted to go play in San Francisco. Now, is it because that's where he's from? Whatever. But, you know, you draw the Mike McDaniels line. I don't know if it's like, well, this is like, you know, cause he wanted to go play for Miami last year anyway, right? With Brian Flores. So I don't know if there's any kind of, I don't know what I'm trying to say, like any kind of connection there with McDaniels coming from San Francisco to Miami. I don't know, but I think he's going to end up playing in Tampa Bay this season as much as he doesn't want to. I think he might try to run it back one more year because I think this is the last year in his contract, correct? Does he have two more years?
No, so, this is last year.
So yeah, maybe he just runs it back this year one time and then tries to make, you know, it lines up perfectly because if Tua can't get it done, and Brady's done in Tampa Bay, then bang, you know, there's your replacement right there, which is, you know, would be huge for Miami.
It would be. It would be. But yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised if he wound up, and then he gets to play twice against the Patriots.
Yeah.
And beat them twice. Or at least beat them once when they play in Miami, because I don't think the Patriots ever win there.
I thought it was the opposite. I thought Miami always goes to New England.
No, I thought it was the Patriots always struggle in December in Miami there.
December in Miami, that's what it was. Yep, you're right.
But yeah, the Tyreek Hill trade, I mean, that's still, and the Chiefs, like I get, like, there's a lot of the salary cap Twitter for the NFL also, I find hilarious of people saying, oh, the cap doesn't exist. And then when something big happens, oh no, the cap does exist. Just look at this.
Did we talk about the Devontae Adams trade? When was that?
We did. That was the tournament.
That's right.
That was last. So, I mean, they all get mixed in the shuffle. That's when we said they needed a transaction pause during the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
So you can get all the stuff after. But yeah, I don't like, it's just an AFC arms race. Like, I don't even know how you, like, what's the next move for an AFC team? Like, what do they do?
Trade Baker.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, but like what, but like what do the Bills do? Have the Bills improved this season, this off season?
I want to say yes. I know they added Jamison Crowder, nice little slot receiver. I don't know what else they, they signed a running back. Who did they sign? They signed a running back. Let me look it up real quick.
David Johnson.
No.
I'm looking it up now.
Oh, is that who it was?
Duke Johnson. They signed Duke Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
I took a wrong guess with the D. They got OJ Howard. Okay. I'm looking at their things like Cole Beasley got cut.
Correct. And that they replaced him with Jamison Crowder, former R word.
And Jet. Like, I mean, do the Bills need to really improve that much? So, I mean, they were 13 seconds away from going to the conference championship game. Like, the Chiefs, I would say, got worse, at least on paper, with trying to figure out the offense with Tyreek Hill. But you would think that, but like, what do you do if you're in the AFC? Like, it's all the big names, I guess, unless you're trying to, the Chargers got Khalil Mack. Like, what is the next move for a team out there? Like, who would be out there that you would think the Bills got? That was big, Von Miller. But I mean, he's old. I know he had a nice season last year, but,
I'd get at least two or three sacks playing next to Aaron Donald.
Yeah. But like, what is the next big move that a team can make or who would make? Like, you gotta think the Titans. They're sitting there thinking, we had that one seed last year. You could say they kind of lucked into it, but they won a bunch of games without their best player.
Yeah.
And what do they do? I don't think they've really made any big moves. Like, they got to be a team that's like, okay, we got to do something to get better.
Robert Woods.
Great. It wasn't like Julio Jones. We're going to sign a guy that comes off an ACL. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that Julio Jones was great last year. He was hurt a lot, but, I just don't know what, they signed Austin Hooper, who only runs 4 yards and then falls down. But like you're sitting there as you're a Titans fan, you gotta be like, what are we gonna, how did we improve off of last year's team? I don't really see it.
Yeah, because even the Bengals got better. I mean, they've signed quite a few guys for the offensive line. Even they got better.
Yeah,
and improved what they needed.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying that their division hasn't really got better. The Colts got Matt Ryan, so maybe they got a better quarterback, but they're still on the equal playing field. They don't. Maybe their thing is just like, we're gonna try and go win the division and then hope we can do better in the playoffs. But I don't know. It's just an arms race and teams are stuck left with what do they got?
Yeah.
Good time to be in the NFC though. That's for sure.
Oh, living large. We got the fifth best quarterback in the conference right now. It's great.
Probably. Who's the best quarterback in the NFC behind Brady and Rodgers? Is it Dak?
Yeah, it's probably Dak. Or Stafford.
Oh, yeah, Stafford. Yeah.
Yeah, because I kind of did the whole list myself, too, because it's Brady, Rodgers, Stafford, Dak, however you want to place them. And then after that, I think it might be Carson Wentz.
Or Cousins is better than Wentz.
I think it's a coin flip.
I don't know how you could say that. I mean, he put up like 4,000 yards last year. I don't think a lot of the problems were for the Vikings were him last year, as the defense couldn't stop anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, he's. I know you're.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. Even if you want to put him ahead, so we're still looking at 6 or 7. I don't know, depending on where you put Jimmy G.
I would say Jimmy G is probably ahead of Cousins and Wentz.
You put him ahead of Cousins too.
I would put him tied with Cousins.
Where do you put Kyler?
Oh, that's a good one. Where do I put Kyler? I'll throw him in the Cousins Jimmy G slot there.
Okay. So we're not looking at rankings, we're looking at tiers.
Yeah, I throw him in a, I think it's a, the tiers would be Brady, Rodgers, Stafford.
You're right.
Then Dak is in his own tier. Then Cousins, Jimmy G, Kyler. I think people would throw Kyler in the Dak tier, but I disagree there.
I would put, see, I think Dak belongs with all three of those guys.
With Brady and Rodgers?
No, with that second tier. It's like tier one is the Brady, Rodgers, Stafford. And then tier 2A is Dak, and tier 2B is the guys that you just mentioned.
Oh,
like I don't think there's a huge separation between them.
I think there is. I think there's a difference. Maybe I'm just looking at before the calf injury more than anything. But like I think we're gonna see pre calf injury more than whatever happened after with Dak. That's what I'm going on. And then I would have to say then I was going to do my 3A and 3B with then the Jimmy G, Kyler, Cousins, and then Wentz is like same tier but like a B in that.
Okay, I can see that.
So they're there, but Wentz isn't in his own tier, but he's in that tier just at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
But man, I don't even know. Boy, it's tough. The NFC, shout out the NFC. I would like a realignment right now.
Yeah.
Proposing, realignment. All right. What else do we have? What else did I, we're train plagging, plane tracking. Do you know whose plane we're tracking today, Ryan?
Yeah. Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods.
Hopefully he's not the pilot.
Hopefully not the pilot, but he took all those Navy SEALs training, so maybe he could fly a plane.
We'll definitely know how to survive if it crashes.
Hopefully. He is on his way to Augusta National. Rumors were swirling this weekend. He was out at Medalist. There was also a video, but that got taken down pretty quickly. He was out there at Medalist Golf Club in Florida walking because he said that he, could play in a cart, but walking was still hard for him. And Augusta is, gotta be the hilliest course on the tour all season long. It's a brutal walk. So for him to walk for hopefully 4 days, if he makes the cut, that's gotta be a lot on his leg. But it seems like he's really making a hard attempt to play at the Masters, which would be really incredible as we're coming up on. It would be just shy of 14 months since he almost lost a leg in that car crash.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this guy make tremendous comeback after tremendous comeback after tremendous comeback. I think this might be the biggest one of them all if he's able to do it.
I would agree. And I will say the tremendous comebacks after tremendous comebacks, some of them have been self-inflicted.
Well, I mean, you could argue almost all of them have been.
Well, I mean, not injury-wise.
Oh, okay.
Like the first comeback, I guess, if you want to say, that was self-inflicted or whatever. But all the other stuff has been like fusions. Oh, it's a once-in-a-lifetime fusion and stuff like that. Like pretty crazy injury stuff. And this would be remarkable if he came back.
Yeah. 100%, especially in this, like you said, 14 months removed.
Yes, and the other thing that came out of the Masters last week, that Phil is not playing in the Masters, which I was stunned by, I will say, because Augusta goes by the beat of their own drum. This is not none of the majors are tour associated with the tour. The tour, I think, they gave a suspension that's not been announced to Phil. I think a lot of people think that, but for the Masters, and for a three-time champion that Phil is, for them to say, you're not playing this year, that says a lot.
That's huge. That's huge. I mean, I think it might be curtains for old Philly boy.
Like, okay, do you think he's going to play the PGA next month?
Probably not.
As a defending champion, he's not going to play. Because he won. Remember, he won.
Yeah. I don't know.
It would be stunning if he didn't play, I guess, in that.
Yeah.
I think
it's more stunning that he would play or that he wouldn't play.
I would say that he will not play in the PGA just based on the fact that he is the defending champion.
Yeah.
Like, if he wasn't the defending champion, it'd be easy for him not to play. Like, I'm stunned he's not playing in the Masters. I thought for sure he'd play there. But I guess Augusta just doesn't want him over. And he's... I assume he's going to be there for the champions dinner. They said he's a past champion non-playing, which means he's going to show up for all the festivities, which is like the champions dinner on Tuesday night. And is he going to play in the par three contest on Wednesday? I don't know. He can. All those guys can play in it. If you're a past champion, I will be interested to see if he even shows up.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is a shocking turn of events for old Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
100%. All right. One last thing too. The USA, they play tomorrow night. Last game of the World Cup qualifier. As long as they don't get beat 6-0 at Costa Rica, they're in the World Cup. They have clinched a playoff berth, which is if they lose 6-0, they'll finish fourth and they'll have to beat New Zealand or the Samoan Islands, or no, the Solomon Islands, excuse me. In a home and away leg, two legs, which they should beat them anyways, but they're pretty much going to Qatar because they're not going to lose 6-0 at Costa Rica. I'm pretty confident in saying that.
You would hope so.
If they did, it would be bad. That's an understatement, but they look good against Panama on Sunday. I personally think they should have beat Mexico on Thursday night. Some people say we should be happy with the point. I was disappointed with the draw. We had the two clear-cut chances. Pulisic missed. I don't know how Memo Ochoa made the save. And then this Jordan Pifok guy who's been banging in goals. You'll like this, Ryan. His club, he plays for Young Boys over in Europe.
Whoa. Why would I like that?
You just like the name Young Boys.
Okay.
He's been somewhere else with that. No. Everybody's got a Young Boys joke when they see the team name in European soccer. But he's been just scoring a ton of goals, had a sitter, and almost, it just shanked it. It was horrible. It was terrible. But they should have won that. And then people were fighting over, should we have won? Should we have drawn? But as long as they don't lose 6-0 on, Wednesday night, tomorrow night, in Costa Rica, off to Qatar around Thanksgiving. And the World Cup draws this Friday, which is pretty crazy. So we'll see who they get drawn into.
For the as far as like their group.
Yep. The group draws on Friday. So nice. we will see who their group is. There's also some teams that aren't playing yet. So Europe has this playoff system. Ukraine is still alive for the World Cup.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. They have to play Scotland, and then they would have to play Wales if they beat Scotland. But they're not going to play until June for obvious reasons. Like the other playoff groups, Italy lost to Macedonia, which was a shocker. So Macedonia plays Portugal today, and then Poland plays Sweden today. Poland got it easy, didn't have to play a semifinal playoff match because they had Russia, and Russia obviously banned from international play for obvious and good reasons. So you got sudden death games this afternoon, Tuesday, to go to the World Cup. But Italy, again, has not made the World Cup the last two times, which is pretty shocking considering they just won the Euros this past summer. So that's the soccer update. Do you have anything else?
No, nothing to add. We're waiting for baseball season to get started in the MLB, see how things go there. But, one last thing. Ain't no stopping Max Verstappen.
Yes. F1, what did you think of the race this week?
Only caught a bit of it, cause I was on the baseball field, right after it started. Cause what did it start? Like one o'clock local time? What time did it start when we're here? Whatever. I watched like the first maybe.
It started at noon here.
Okay. Noon. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Cause our game was at 1:30. So yeah. So I probably watched like the first like 30, 45 minutes of it. And then I saw at the end that, that Max brought home the victory.
Yeah, he did. He pulled off the last second move in the dying laps on Charles Leclerc.
Mm-hmm.
It's been exciting racing so far. The new cars look good. They're getting better racing out there. And, things in the F1 season are, off to a hot, hot start. The Mercedes in the mud right now. Lewis had a tough weekend. There's also
Ferrari racing well.
Ferrari's great. There was also a drone strike in Saudi Arabia. Did you see that? Like 20 kilometers from the track on Friday?
No.
At the Aramco oil facility. It was like a terrorist attack. And they were almost not going to race this weekend because of that.
Mm.
Which is pretty, pretty scary there. But yeah, no, things are off to a good start. Looks like we're going to have a three-team battle for the championship this season. But all right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will talk to you next week.